This is the Rambling On Astronomy Podcast.
Sometimes I grow so tired. But I know about one thing I got to do. Ramble on. And now the time is now. Sing my song. I'm going around the world. I gotta find my girl. On my way. I've been this way 10 years to the day. Ramble on. I'm trying to clean up all my dreams.
This is the Rambling On Astronomy Podcast, and today we will be talking about the history of neutron stars. The first recorded sighting of a supernova happened in the 11th century on July 4th. The Chinese astronomer to the imperial court, Yang Weitai, saw a great blaze of light far brighter than Venus, a light that could be seen in broad daylight the next 21 months until it faded away. This guest star, as Yang Weitai called it, was actually a massive star 6,500 light-years away that had gone supernova. This explosion left behind supernova remnants and a neutron star, a small, extremely dense sphere composed primarily of neutrons, which was unable to be seen without the use of more advanced technology, leaving neutron stars still undiscovered. Later, in 1932, English physicist James Chadwick discovered neutrons, allowing for American astronomers Fritz Zwicky and Walter Bade to hypothesize the existence of neutron stars. They concluded that a massive star could shed its outer layers in the supernova explosion, and leave behind a compressed sphere of neutrons, much smaller than the original star was. They knew that a neutron star must be formed under tremendous pressure, which meant that there was a limit to how far it could be compressed. This allowed for the hypothesis of degenerate neutron pressure, a pressure far stronger than degenerate electron pressure. This pressure could support a dead star, even more massive than a white dwarf. In 1967, an astronomy team from Cambridge University, led by Josh Lindbell, built a telescope in order to analyze and search for fluctuating radio waves. The antennas detected regular pulses of radio noise from one section of skies, pulses more rapid and regular than anything else at the time. The Cambridge team hypothesized these radio pulses were actually signals from an alien civilization, a hypothesis later discarded when more radio pulses were discovered in different parts of the sky. At this time, there were two ideas floating around. One, that there were extremely regular radio pulses coming from an unknown source. Two, that there were highly magnetized, rapidly rotating compact stars. Thomas Gold, an Austrian astrophysicist, connected the two seemingly unattached ideas, the extremely regular radio pulses and a highly magnetized, rapidly rotating compact star. In James M. Latimer's paper, Neutron Stars, he explains the three facts that guarantees the ideas to one cohesive neutron star. The periods of pulsars range from seconds down to milliseconds. The rotation periods are observed to be extremely stable, ranging from thousands to millions of years. The periods are observed to be generally increasing. These three facts virtually guarantee that one is dealing with the rotation of a massive object. The short periods imply that the size of the pulsar is small. Vibrations of a star are ruled out because, generally, as vibrations decay, their period decreases. Furthermore, the characteristic vibrational frequency is only a few milliseconds and is too short. Finally, pulsing due to two orbiting objects is ruled out by the prediction of general relativity that a close compact binary will emit gravitational radiation, which again decreases its period as the orbit decays. End quote. Later, in 1975, another pulsar was discovered orbiting another star. Astronomers Hulse and Taylor reasoned that while the other star could not be seen, it was there due to the Doppler shift of the pulses. Also because the other star could not be seen, the possibilities of it being a white dwarf or another star were ruled out. Lastly, in the Large Magellanic Cloud, a nearby galaxy, another supernova was seen. Detecting a neutrino pulse, the IMB detector near Cleveland predicted a Type II supernova, a gravitational collapse, which would then lead to a possible neutron star. The energy output from a supernova is huge, releasing neutrinos on a grand scale. However, to prove that a neutrino pulse would lead to a neutron star, they had to prove that the diffusion through a highly compact neutron star is proportional to the other low-mass interstellar objects. And unfortunately, we're out of time. This is Alex Matthews, and thank you for tuning in to the History of Neutron Stars.
Sometimes I grow so tired, but I know I've got one.